On America Can We Talk, I talk about election integrity, border security, healthcare freedom, race relations, energy and tax policy, education policy, free speech and assembly, freedom of religion, and all other issues that touch on the God-given right of every American to life, liberty, and the pursuit of their version of happiness. Stay tuned. You preach your tolerance, but lecture me. Is there no end to your own hypocrisy? Your God is power, you have no shame. Your only interest is political gain. You hide your eyes and refuse to listen. You play your game.
Coming up next, America Can We Talk with your host, Debbie Georgiatos.
And hello and welcome to America Can We Talk. I'm Debbie Georgiatos. On our show today, I have a wonderful guest joining me in studio. We'll turn to her in just a moment. I put a bunch of topics on my list I sent to my happy producer, Emilio. We may not get to all of them, but what I thought about talking about today, I do want to talk about the GOP retirements, sabotaging America. We'll hit that. And Dr. Simone Gold is here in studio. Can't wait to have this conversation. You all know her. We'll talk with her in a moment. And if we possibly get to it, the New York court's tiny step towards justice in the Trump lawfare case in New York, and finally, omnibus bill, a sellout, or is it the best we can do? And I will, of course, tell you why these stories matter to you. But very quickly, my first topic, I want to talk about GOP retirements from the United States Congress. And the reason I want to do that is here we sit in election year. And so we have a slim majority of Republicans in the U.S. House. And so it's very difficult to get any kind of legislation through. The omnibus was a problem because it isn't just enough to have people that are by their name. Do we have a sufficient number of people who will vote the right way, who will do the right thing, take the brave votes, especially when they're bullied by the left and by the media, and they just end up surrendering, or the conservatives surrender all the time. So, very recently, just about 2 weeks ago, I think it was, Ken Buck, congressman from Colorado, resigned, kind of, you know, he had said he wasn't going to run again, and then he announced shortly after that that he was announcing he was departing Congress by the end of next week. So when you lose a Republican, then the majority numbers go down. So he's out. No reason it isn't a compelling health reason or a family emergency. He just got tired, in his words, of the bickering, the inability to get things done, you know, our caucus is so fractured, blah, 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 complaining about the relationships between the Republicans and Congress and not getting things done. But the most startling and most recent one, which is becoming actually dangerous, it is a member of the United States Congress named Mike Gallagher. And the reason he really matters so much, because he's from a, number one, very safe Republican district in Wisconsin. He's so savvy and really was such a rising star in Congress that he was being approached by the party to ask in Wisconsin to say, why don't you consider running for Senate? You're really pop. You could be the senator from Wisconsin. And he declined, saying, no, I really like being in the House. That's my role. He has been wonderful in his role in Congress, especially focused on retaliating against, exposing what China's doing to America, exposing China. He's been a rock star. So he announced that he is retiring. And the thing that's particular, I want to say the T word, treasonous, but it's at least a betrayal of the American people, is he announced his retirement on a date certain, late in April, which is just past the date that Wisconsin law would have allowed the governor to order a new election. Meaning, had he said, I'm retiring, and I'm resigning, and I'm going to drop out, you know, by April 1st, that would have triggered in Wisconsin a special election, and they could fill that seat, put a Republican back in that seat, whoever the voters chose, and help the Republicans keep the slim majority in Congress. But he didn't. He set his date for resignation past that deadline, so the way the law operates in Wisconsin, the seat will remain vacant until this fall. And the reason people, including myself, are getting very, very concerned and exercised about this is because if we continue this, here are the numbers. Right now, we will end up with the Republican versus Democrat numbers in the Congress, 217 to 213. So it's slim, meaning you have to get everyone on board, meaning you have to make endless accommodations to Republicans who are actually genuinely more moderate, or maybe from moderate districts, who can't be talked in to doing the right thing on bill after bill after bill. So you're just constantly, within the Republican caucus, compromising. So we're down that more, that much more. And if we do lose, if we lose two more Republicans, and there are rumors that two more are soon to be resigning, we could end up, because obviously we have a Republican majority by a slim number, and therefore the House Speaker is a Republican. If we lose Republican majority, then the election, there becomes an election instantly over who's Speaker of the House. And the Democrats, of course, have pushed the same one they pushed last time, Hakeem Jeffries. You could end up on Election Day 2024 with Hakeem Jeffries as the Speaker of the House. And you might say, well, so what? We still have our votes. Here's the so what. You understand how hard the Democrats worked to fight against Donald Trump. We have an election in 2024. We're going to have a certification of the election, we hope, in January. I mean, Donald Trump, in my view, will win this election hands down unless there's massive fraud yet again. He will win. But if you have Democrats controlling both chambers of the House and Senate, the idea what they could do to literally keep him out of office, raise legal objections. Now, I understand that the Democrats in Congress and the entire media echo chamber in this country have spent the last 4 years criticizing anyone who says the 2020 election was stolen, which of course it was. But we're going to have, if you have a Trump victory in 2024 and Democrats in charge of the Senate and the House, we're going to watch the whole battle unfold in Washington over whether or not they'll even allow Donald Trump to be seated as president. This is, I will tell you, this is not based on facts I personally know. There's something wrong here. It's not just selfish of Ken Buck and Mike Gallagher to decide to resign, because they know all the facts I just told you. They know what will happen in Congress. They know they'll end up with a Democrat Speaker of the House, and everything will change. They know this. And they could hang in their seats and do whatever it is that they want to do at home, whatever their personal life is, hang in there and just vote. They could do that, but they won't. Selfish is the least harsh term I could use. The more likely thing, and I will plant this seed, and I know others have been talking about this, there's great concern that there's pressure by people who've been at work in our country for a long time, pressuring people, getting secret information about them, digging into their past, threatening them, whether it's threats or bribes or scandals that be unfolded. I truly believe these resignations are very likely tied to some kind of coercion that we don't know exactly what it is. Because if you're Mike Gallagher and you're a solid Republican and you're fighting against China, why would you resign on a date that will leave your seat with no one in it? Therefore, you increases the Democrats' power in Washington. Something is pushing Gallagher to do this, and it's not something good. It is not what a patriot would do. It is outrageous. It is, and so I don't know what it is, but I do not believe these are just, you know, organic resignations. So Marjorie Taylor Greene to the rescue. She already filed a motion. Let me back up and say what she has done. She raised the point in Congress, well, if he's going to resign anyway, why don't we expel him? Because if we expel him before the deadline and Wisconsin can hold a special election, you're going to get a Republican back in. And, you know, this is the kind of thing I understand Marjorie Taylor Greene is characterized in mainstream media often as flamboyant or whatever word they use. She's a patriot. She's making a brilliant point. It should be every Republican in Congress saying, hey, we need to expel Mike Gallagher so we can hold on to our majority, so people of Wisconsin can pick somebody new for this seat. There's no reason not to do that. Why wouldn't Mike Gallagher do it? There's just a crying need in Congress for those members of Congress who have the capacity to do it, to tell Gallagher, you either need to resign or we're going to expel you, because we need to hold on to a Republican majority. People across this country want to sense they fight in the Congress, in the Republican Party, to hold on to the majority, to hold back what the left is doing to this country. So to wrap up my first five, I will just say there is just an amazing opportunity for Republicans in Congress to show America firsthand, we understand, we see what the Democrats are doing, we see what they're trying to harm the power of the Republican people to have self-governance, and we're going to do everything we can, which will include we're going to expel Mike Gallagher if he will not leave on his own. And that, my very fine friends, is today's first five. Okay, so we have many, many stories to cover today. And, you know, I actually, my last 2 weeks, I had to do a replay on my Tuesday show because of amazing things happening in my campaign for RNC committee woman, which I'll have to get to another day, but just great, great things happening, very exciting. But I can't get to every story. And I invited my very, very good friend and just an amazing patriot, Dr. Simone Gold, to join me in studio today. She is here for a variety of reasons, but you know, she's been on the show numerous times. She was, in fact, she spoke at one of our Women for Freedom Summit, maybe two of them, Women for Freedom Summits, an extraordinary, really a leading figure in America and healthcare freedom. If you're thinking, I know that name, who is that? She is the founder of America's Frontline Doctors, which was the group that stood out early on during the threat of COVID and the threat of lockdown America and held that majestic, I don't know what word to use, conference on the steps of the Supreme Court. Doctors lined up in their white coats, making a statement about that they, doctors, understood that COVID didn't have to be treated as a threat that it is. We didn't have to have America shut down. We didn't have to keep everyone home. They spoke truth at a time that very few doctors would do it. So she founded America's Frontline Doctors. There are many, many other things she did. She participated in standing up for election freedom on January 6th, a brave episode there we probably won't get into today. But she's doing so many things. I told her before we get started on the show today, there are too many topics and not enough time to talk about what she's been doing and what has happened in this era under the Biden, he who occupies the White House and the administration that we are now living under, as more and more people are threatened by so many things the Biden administration is doing. What we're finding also is more and more brave patriots speaking up on a whole range of issues, a wide range of issues. And you're finding experts like Dr. Simone Gold, who could just be talking with you about remedies for COVID or, you know, understanding the threats from the vaccines, a whole host of just medical issues. She's really expanded her activism, as have others who are just leaders in the patriot cause in this country, expanded their activism into speaking up on all sorts of issues and just leading thought leaders, leading people into activity. So with that introduction, I want to welcome to the show Dr. Simone Gold.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. And I know that was a lot, but you have done so much. And I know we can't cover everything. So I have a little list. But if you want to say, but I want to throw something in, you just say so.
Perfect.
Okay. So I know there was something. I want to have you describe it. And you have been brave because as you spoke up about COVID, medical authorities in various places were really kind of saying, you can't say that. You know, you're not allowed to say this, can't do that. And you and other doctors, and here in Texas, actually, wonderful doctors, mm-hmm. Dr. Robin Armstrong, Dr. Peter McCullough, had the state medical board come after them for speaking truth. And I think that happened to you, too. So you had an interaction with the California medical board. So you want to tell us about that?
For sure, yeah. You know, it is true that a lot of people think of me in relationship to COVID or early treatment, but actually my lane has always been the Constitution and constitutional freedoms. I was very upset in 2020 when they were doing all the lockdowns. I was living in California at the time, and the lockdowns were massively illegal, et cetera. We've never had legal precedent where you can lock down healthy people. The government does have the right legally to quarantine sick people, but never healthy people. It's never been a thing. So that was really my lane. It's really the constitutional freedoms, and we're losing them through the medical tyranny that we've seen. So one of the things that has happened, there's been kind of a coordinated effort. Different agencies have done different things. So the state medical boards, a doctor who's licensed to practice medicine is licensed in a particular state, Texas, Florida, California, New York, et cetera. The state medical board is in charge of granting that license. The doctor does all the education, the schooling, the licensure requirements, et cetera. They submit the fees, they do it, and then they get their license. After that point, the state licensing board is only supposed to intervene on that doctor if there's something threatening to the public. The typical example would be sexual assault. Sometimes there are doctors who are predators towards patients. Something with the billing, like they're doing something not kosher with billing, fraudulent. And the third area would be it's just kind of incompetence, like those three things. Like maybe they're showing up drunk in the OR, just kind of general, like they can't practice medicine. Those are almost all the cases that the various state medical boards get involved in. And California has had a California medical board since 147 years. And in 147 years, they never ever had a case where they came after a doctor like me. They came after me for, quote, misinformation. I got that letter at the end of 2021. there were people in the public, not patients of mine, but people in the public who said, I don't like what Dr. Gold is saying. She's saying misinformation. You need to pull her license. This became a cause célèbre on the left. Let's get Dr. Gold's license. So they tried. I was fighting them for 2 years. I refused to give in. And we finally went to court. We had our court date in November of 2023, and we got the result in January of 2024. And I'm very happy to say that the California Medical Board lost. There was a win for free speech on that day. I got up and I argued, you know, the California Medical Board is not allowed to encroach on a doctor's ability to speak. And that's really what they were doing. They were kind of more combining it with the fact that I was present on January 6th to give a speech, but it really wasn't about that. It was about the misinformation. That's how it started. Curiously enough, in California, the president of the California Medical Board had a personal vendetta against me, and she had written, I think it was a 6-page or 4-page letter to my J6 judge. I don't know if I've ever shared that with you, but she actually wrote a letter that was vitriolic, like, against me to my J6 judge, and it showed just a tremendous personal bias. And the third thing that went very crazy in California is, to stop me in particular, they passed that law that you heard about, which was to silence doctors. They called it the No Second Opinion Law. Well, they argued in the California State Legislature that doctors like Dr. Simone Gold shouldn't be able to speak publicly and retain and say things that they disagreed with and retain her license. This became the California law to stop doctors' free speech that was enacted January 2023. It was promptly challenged for being illegal and against free speech, and it was left to die in September. But they did all of this just to silence a doctor from speaking. But
yeah, I love that. And I want to chime in a couple of things. You're saying that the decision came out this year, 2024?
Just came out, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the argument, essentially, I love what you're making the point about free speech, because this mentality that says we aren't going to let doctors say things that we, the ruling class, don't like, in this case with California Medical Board, the same thing is occurring with respect to election law attorneys filing litigation saying, I believe this election was stolen, here's all the data, here's my information. And the threats to prosecute these lawyers and to disbar them, it's the same thing in a different arena of life. Am I introducing, I didn't say to our happy listeners, you're not only a licensed emergency physician, but you're also an attorney. And so,
thank you so much for saying that. So, Debbie, you're exactly correct. So the reason I took on this fight, I want to share with everybody, I don't even live in California anymore. I actually don't need my California medical license. So I did this fight for the bigger purpose, which is the state agencies that are regulating people and granting them licenses. If they can just take away your license based on the words that you say, you will silence all Americans, small business owners, restaurant owners, child daycare center owners. They won't be able to speak. So of course they're doing it to lawyers. So I had to take this fight on for anybody who's licensed in the state of California. We had to push back. It really was not about practicing medicine. It's about them trying to control the speech of anybody who has a license with the state.
It is an amazing thing, and it's always on issues that, in your case, with respect to COVID, speaking truth about available remedies that were efficacious, no reason to be panicked, these things that are available have been available a long time, they're not expensive.
Yeah, can I jump in for a second?
You may.
One of the things that just came up last week, if you might have missed it because it's in my lane, which is that, remember when the FDA had put up a tweet that said, don't take ivermectin because you're not a horse, because ivermectin is used for horse, it is used for mammals. However, ivermectin is a very safe drug for humans. It won the Nobel Prize for Medicine in 2015 for human medicine, and it's a fantastic drug, and it works very well for early treatment and even for prophylactic use for COVID. So we doctors who cared about our patients would often prescribe ivermectin. The FDA kept promoting us as quacks and saying that you shouldn't use it, you're not a horse, and they've had that tweet up for a couple of years. Many of our freedom doctors fought that in court, and just last week won, and the FDA had to take down that tweet. So we won kind of a free speech battle with the FDA. You have to wonder why our federal government, through the FDA, is putting up information that's so clearly false. But we did win. So I want to say that when you know that you're right and you know you've got truth, you have to fight back, because you'll probably eventually win and make a difference.
Yes, and you really are doing it for all of America. I mean, the same thing with these legal cases. As a lawyer, too, it bothers the daylights out of me that some lawyer is going to have to calculate. Now, if I file this litigation, which I believe wholeheartedly is true, I'm truly signing on saying I believe it to be true and correct, but I might lose my license. You talk about just repression of speech. You won't do that. And this is exactly the point about cases challenging election integrity and, frankly, cases challenging the, what do they ever call it, the biopharmaceutical government complex, the notion that says we control what everyone thinks about medicine and these doctors who are countering us don't get to. So thank you for doing that. Okay, I had my happy little list here. You just finished, and I mentioned earlier, you spoke at our Women for Freedom Summit twice. Obviously, everybody loved it. You sponsored a Medical Freedom Summit. And honestly, I do find, obviously in our show, I've had more and more doctors willing to come on, talk about how wrong what is occurring is and what the truth is and how they're trying to stand up and the threats they face. So tell us about this Medical Freedom. You had a great speakers, by the way, too.
Yeah. Okay, so it is true that, you know, the focus is medical, but the focus is on medical because that's where they're oppressing us. They're able to capture human imagination with fear over the medical more than really anything else. So I agree with you that election integrity is probably the number one issue, because if you don't have free elections, everything else falls by the wayside. But they're getting ordinary people through fear in the medical. So we've put a lot of doctors together. There's lots and lots of us. And we came and we spoke, and we speak about how the medical industrial complex, which is this, the businesses that make money off of your illnesses, that would be hospitals, that's insurance companies, that's big pharmaceutical companies, how they're not working in your best interest. So we kind of explained how that all works, how the a large corporation now is controlling the doctor, the nurse, the hospital, the insurance company. It's all kind of integrated at this point. And also, on a positive note, how you can protect yourself. There's still a lot of options that you can do to protect yourself, and we presented those as well to people.
Okay, I just love that. And I will tell you something, you are just a, what's a good word? I mean, you are really an amazing, determined leader. I mean, you hear about issues, and you don't just go home and, you know, share at the dinner table and grumble about it with your friends. You take action. I mean, this kind of thing, and I think people can still watch this. Is that correct? They can watch
this? Yes, so if you go to our website, AFLDS, America's Frontline Doctors, AFLDS.org, you should watch the whole thing. It's incredible.
I saw it. It's up on the homepage. It's the center of the homepage.
We had whistleblowers. We had people explaining how we got here. And then if you're more interested in just keeping yourself healthy, how can I stay healthy given that the doctors are overwhelmingly lying to us? You know, what can you do and how can you find ethical doctors? We have all of that.
I love that. And even, your AFLDS website has been brilliant for a long time. I remember very early on, I think the first time I had you on the show, we were talking about masks and how many people just became, well, I guess masks must prevent you from getting COVID, else they wouldn't be requiring them. And you put up the biggest assembly bullet point study, which I did share with many people. Just read these. If you don't believe me about masks, just read it. Yeah. Because honestly, it helps people trying to interact with their friends, who just aren't going to believe their friend from the neighborhood, but if they see, doctors are saying, very helpful. Okay, and one other thing, I know I mentioned it before the show, but I want to hit on this idea again. People who are really alert to the broad field of what's happening to this country, not just focused on border insecurity or not just focused on healthcare freedom or all the myriad of issues, but people see a common thread or larger a larger effort, a larger mission at work to really take down the fundamental freedoms of America, to destroy Americans' belief and expectation in freedom and the expectation of rule of law, expectation of just an orderly society, expectation of personal freedom. There's just an ongoing drumbeat. And so many issues, they're tied together by that. Mm-hmm. And so one thing I noticed, and I mentioned to you before the show, I've noticed with other leaders too, is you don't just stick to talking about healthcare freedom. You also, which is a broad topic, but you also had a posting recently from America's Frontline Doctors about defunding the radical gender agenda. Mm-hmm. You want a quick talk about that?
For sure. Listen, it all comes from, I think, correct me, Thomas Jefferson said, you know, you cannot be both uneducated and free. To expect that is to expect something that never was and never will be. So we work to educate people. The common thread in what you're saying is people don't know what their rights are. They don't know 100% what to think. We've been indoctrinating our children for at least probably five generations to follow what the teacher says as opposed to think critically for themselves. So the people are just swallowing things. So lately in the last 10 years, we've had this just insane suggestion that you should trade a healthy body for a sick body. So we, America's Frontline Doctors, is approaching this from a medical perspective. I don't see that out in the public space. I don't see doctors leaping into there saying, Well, let's just talk about this from a medical perspective. I'm not going to talk about it from the political or the psychological or sociological. Let's talk about it. What does it mean medically?
Yeah.
To take puberty blockers? And what does it mean medically to get a hysterectomy, chop this off, and then try to make an artificial phallus? What does that mean? We are walking people through, and you're going to watch my Twitter, you're going to see, we're coming out with videos. We've shot all these videos with a bunch of doctors. What are the medical implications for trading a healthy physical body for a sick body? Do you know that the complication rate, it's over like 80%. This stuff should not be legal. You can't go to a doctor and say, you know, doctor, I don't like my left leg. It's not as good as my right leg. I don't like my left leg. And the doctor says, no problem. We'll just chop it off. And that'll be good. That would be illegal. Even if the patient and the doctor both consented to it, it's not legal. That's what's happening. We're having 18-year-olds, 16-year-olds who are saying, I don't like X, Y, or Z. And the doctor's offering them something that trades their healthy body for a body that has chronic wounds, chronic medical care, chronic medical conditions.
And irreversible. That is what the staggering thing. You can make a mistake and get a really bad haircut,
right,
or whatever you do, gain weight, lose weight, do something that messes you up, but you can correct it. All this, and you do have these cases that are just, they're heartbreaking. A young, what should be a young woman, 22, 23, who's got a deep male voice, who's had a double mastectomy, who recognizes, wow, I'm never going to be able, even, you know, to have children, to nurse a baby. And they're saying, why didn't someone tell me? Why did everyone involved in this process just
so there's
let
a
me
lot
do
of,
this?
So we just shot a video series. It's going to come out. When it does, I will let you know. So I'd like you to post it. But let me give you some examples of what doctors are not doing. So if you try to build an artificial penis, they're calling that. Consider, where are you getting the muscle from? Where are you getting the skin from? How are you building this thing? Well, they take the muscle or the skin from the arm, from the forearm, right? And then they try to build this thing that it does not ever really become functional. But I'm going to give you one minor point. As they're building it, they do electrolysis on the arm first to make sure there's no hair growth. But they don't get 100%. So now you build this thing, and you have this artificial phallus, right? And inside there's a hair that grows, and there's an ingrown hair.
Oh.
Do you understand? Like, that's such a minor detail, and I share that with you because you're talking about creating a situation that could drive a person crazy. They've taken a healthy body and they've traded it for a sick body that's going to kind of torture them and give them difficulty. So I'm just sharing with you that we are coming out with this video series. It's going to walk people through the actual medical complication rates of what happens with these medical mutilation surgeries.
I absolutely love that. And again, on the bravery of being a doctor, because really it is not just MDs, but it is pediatricians, and it is psychiatrists and psychologists who seem to be propagandized, who seem to be mesmerized or hypnotized into, well, this is new. Who knew? We didn't realize this, but now we do know. And so they go right along with the entire transgender agenda, the notion that whatever the percentage is now, 40% of, you know, people under 30 really are misgendered, whatever the crazy numbers are, and they just say, well, and their reaction is, okay, well, let's help them transition versus let's understand this is a mental illness and we love you and we care and we're going to heal you. I don't understand how many doctors can be so
dogmatic. So first of all, there's a lot of money behind it. There's a lot of money that's being paid to doctors and hospitals to do these procedures. And the doctors have also been told by transgender activists that the child who wants to go through this might kill themselves. So a landmark study just came out literally like a week or 2 weeks ago saying that the risk of suicide is higher on the people who've had the surgeries than people who have not.
How could it not be?
How could it not be? Right, but they're telling the parents that it's better to have an alive son than a dead daughter, et cetera. It's false, it's not true, and we're going to come bring you the facts.
I absolutely love that. And I appreciate the bravery of many people, including connected me with a doctor, Eitan Haim, who had him on the show a month ago or something, whenever it was. And it was, honestly, he is so, and he's, for our listeners, he was the one who became a whistleblower at Texas Children's Hospital, where he said the hospital had promised publicly they were not engaging in any sort of transgender treatment, surgeries, anything at all, and he discovered they were. It was ongoing. They even represented to the state they weren't going to because our great state of Texas, we passed a law, can't do transgender surgery on or treatments on minors. And they said, okay, we're complying, and they weren't. He's a whistleblower, and he's become a criticized by them pariah. I mean, he's out of that hospital and doing his own practice, but the concept, it should be 99% of the doctors like him and 1% advocating
for it? I think I've mentioned this to you before. Doctors in my father's day were small business owners, and they determined they were like captains of their own small ships. That's not the case. Overwhelming majority, I think about 85% of doctors are employees now. So this is a big part of the reason why doctors just go along with really unethical treatments.
Yeah, it is a stunning thing. And actually, I do feel like on many issues, it's kind of like when COVID came along and many people got locked at home and they couldn't go to school and the schools were closed. Parents figured out, wow, look what our kids are learning. So it turned them on to education. They realized what the kids were learning. America woke up a little bit. I think the entire nearly 4 years of Biden administration has awakened millions of Americans say, oh, this is what the left will do to us if we let them. This is what they'll control. And all of a sudden they're saying, you know, this is not okay. Not okay. I mean, I'm truly grateful for that. I think there is a great awakening, so to speak, in terms of people realizing what leftism is really about and what freedom is about and what it's going to take to get America back. Okay, so next one, topic I want to hit before, I want to get to gold care. We do, that's probably going to take a while. So last one I want to talk with you about, so the World Health Organization, and it's funny, I never want to say WHO, so it's called WHO, but there's a final vote, I believe, in May of this year in Washington, which essentially America is contemplating, and we're pretty far down the path of agreeing to surrender America's sovereignty over the healthcare system, over the question of whether or not people who are, whether there is a pandemic, what requirements society must follow because they claim there is a pandemic in place. I mean, it's a great ceding of America's sovereignty to the World Health Organization. It includes language, and I don't have it in front of me, but it's like including the health of plants and animals, which gets you into all of the climate change lunacy. Yeah. If they say, well, you know, we've discovered that XYZ hurts, you know, the left-handed turtles in Nevada, or whatever it is, there's going to be, we are seeding, they can tell us. You've been following that issue too. I'd love to hear your thoughts about it.
Yeah, listen, I'll just talk for a couple moments about it. The World Health Organization has a nice, pretty name that people might think, well, that sounds like a lovely organization that would obviously be caring about my health. Yeah, no. You have to look at who's controlling the World Health Organization. You can go to whocontrolswho.com, whocontrolswho.com, and we walk you through who's controlling it. So the guy in charge is a fellow named Dr. Tedros. Dr. Tedros was handpicked by the Chinese Communist Party to run the World Health Organization. He's in his middle of his second five-year term, so he'll be there 10 years. He was actually a very important person, a leader in the Tigray People's Liberation Front, which has now been declared a known terrorist organization. This is who the guy is. So, of course, China wanted the guy. He's a natural fascist. Under his rule in Ethiopia, 2 million of ethnic Ethiopians called Amrahans went missing. They didn't get enough food. They didn't get enough medicine. That's who China backed. When Tedros ran, he was the only non-physician who ran. So he's in that position for about 10 years. Who was there beforehand was Dr. Chan. Dr. Margaret Chan was also installed by the Chinese Communist Party. So we're talking about the Chinese Communist Party has been in charge of the WHO for it'll be about 20 years. Now, what kind of benefits does the Chinese Communist Party get by running the WHO? Well, you know, when COVID came around in 2019, 2020, we called it the Wuhan virus. I always like to remind people that's not a racist term, the Wuhan virus. Doctors frequently have named viruses from the areas where they come. There's the Ebola virus, there's Zika, there's Spanish flu, there's German measles, there's all kinds of names that come just from the location. It helps doctors understand. It was logical to name it the Wuhan virus. Well, the Chinese Communist Party was very unhappy about that. So Tedros put a stop to that, and we stopped calling it the Chinese the Wuhan virus. Those are the sorts of payoffs that you get when you put a guy from your party in charge. So right now what the World Health Organization is doing is following China's lead. Now, China has discovered that it's going to be easier to do a Maoist, Marxist, communist takeover without firing a shot, by using stealth and deception, by saying things like, we've got to enhance the world public health and global public health strategies. Those are marketable phrases to Americans and to Westerners.
They are.
And that's what they're doing. So we just have to understand who our enemy is. We're very slow as Americans to understand who our enemy is. The way the Chinese fight a war and the way Americans fight a war, not saying one is better than the other, but they're very different. We think a clear fight, a clean fight is, you know, we think of like Indiana Jones and we think of Rocky, I'm gonna, you know, get you in the face, right? China's very different. You know, if you read The Art of War, which is all of our leaders should have read and clearly haven't, Chinese really advocate winning by deception, by stealth. That's considered, you know, really admirable. So we are kind of unprepared for that kind of, we're prepared more for frontal assault, and they're coming at us kind of obliquely. So the World Health Organization treaty that they're pushing would give up national sovereignty to the World Health Organization, which is now a puppet of China. We have to urge all of our representatives to vote against it. Absolutely. And one more thing that you said,
ahead.
It's not just things like COVID. You think of me and a doctor like COVID. Absolutely, it was climate change. It's overpopulation, which has to do with, they're going to talk about abortion, right? They're going to talk about euthanasia and food, agricultural. So all of this falls under the guise of public health.
Absolutely, it does. And I was trying to look on my phone while you were talking about the book that was written by the Chinese generals that came out in 1998 called Unrestricted Warfare. They actually wrote out what you just said. They wrote out to say, we can take down America. We can take them down without firing a bullet, dropping a bomb. It was a listing of all the ways in which they could take down America, weaken us economically. It's also a cultural thing, weaken our belief in ourselves and the goodness of America, what America's identity is. Unrestricted warfare, they were bragging about the idea that they could take America down and we would never see it coming.
Yeah.
Never see it coming.
So if you read The Art of War, you read that's exactly what they think of as the best way to fight a war is without any bloodshed. And it's really not the American way. You know.
Well, it's deceptive. And what's troubling in America is if you have people awake to it, like a lot of things that you said, especially when you first observe things, like when COVID came along and the reports were some doctors are, you know, they're not going along with the protocol. They're not agreeing that we have to just all stay home, wear masks, and wait and don't try ivermectin or all the other treatments, hydroxychloroquine. The doctors who tried to speak up were marginalized, as you've experienced, marginalized, mocked, and ridiculed. And the average American thought, well, I don't know, seems like the majority is with Fauci, so I think I'll listen to him. It took a while for people to wake up and say, wait a minute, Fauci's been lying to us.
Yeah.
These doctors are telling the truth. And then, hopefully, it wakes them up to more things. But back to what China is doing, this is actually a long-term, we truly want to take down America. And there are people in Congress, some waking up and recognize it. What I'm blown away by, I mean, even if the Republicans have a slim majority, the idea you don't have every Republican congressman locking arms on the steps of the Capitol every day saying, here we are for another press conference, no secession, no giving our sovereignty away to the World Health Organization. If that kind of presence, and you just wonder, who's okay with it?
Yeah.
Who's not fighting? I mean, either you're compromised, they have things on you, so you never go along with it, or are you just thinking, well, that's a little bit of hyperbole, I'm sure it's not that bad, or they buy into all the slogan slinging that you were just describing happens, and the crying need for leaders.
Right. It's sorrowful to understand that our leaders mostly don't understand what's going on. You should not be able to sit in Congress if you've never read The Art of War. Our number one enemy in the world right now is China.
Yes.
So this is their playbook. It's like Mein Kampf was for Hitler. The
mm-hmm.
Art of War has been around since before Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's over 2,000 years old. This is what they believe. Why not read the book? And if you read the book, they will tell you up front, we get to victory through stealth and deception. If we have bloodshed, it's considered almost a defeat. It's a little bit embarrassing to them.
Shouldn't have needed it. Yeah.
So of course they want to take over the World Health Organization.
They do. And that concept of World Health Organization, again, the name sounds so good. And when you've instilled fear in people and someone's being propped up or an entity's being propped up as an expert, a lot of people saying, well, we'll wait and see what they say. You know, and they also, I think, you know, there's a push in Congress to say, we can't allow this deal about World Health Organization to somehow circumscribe the constitutional requirement of a Senate and look at it as a treaty. And this is being presented really like Barack Obama did with his Iranian deal.
Yeah.
It was a deal because then didn't have to go through the requirement of the Constitution to have go through the Senate. Same with this one. And so there is a push to say at least Senate stand up and insist you want this to be up or down Senate vote. And I think it's two-thirds. I can't remember. It's two-thirds in the Senate.
By the way, again, not to belabor it, but this is incredibly scary stuff because it was bad enough when it came to COVID. We saw the whole world shut down. But my goodness gracious, this affects food. It affects climate measures. You know, it's very bad.
It affects everything. Yeah, it is truly astonishing. And truly astonishing that we even have to have a debate in Congress. If there's one Republican there, we'll do whatever the procedural thing you can. Anything you can, just stop it.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe we could pull a fire alarm.
Someone did that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
The Democrat socialist, Jamal Bowman, pulled a fire alarm to stop the vote.
Oh, he did. He did. And actually, I think he finally did.
No, he did. He was charged with a misdemeanor and a $1,000 fine.
He had to pay a fine.
Which will be stricken from his record once he complies.
Good grief. Well, that's fair. Okay. But the real reason we had to come on today, I mean, or my big reason I want to share with our listeners, part of what people feel like is, okay, so, you know, everything you're saying is alarming, and we don't like that doctors kind of went along with a lie about COVID and went along with all the rules they tried to make. But what option do we have? I mean, this is the American medical care system. So you have come up with Gold Care. And I actually want to give you, we have a solid amount of time left. I want to give you as much as you, we have 20 minutes to just talk about what is Gold Care, how do you use it, why is it better, who's it available to, and just how's it work? What's the whole thing? And this is your baby, so you go.
Thank you so much. You know, hold on tight, because this is really interesting stuff what I'm about to tell you. So I've been a doctor more than 25 years. My father was a doctor before me. I just grew up thinking and knowing that being a doctor was just the best thing a person could do with their life. It was the most righteous thing to help save a life. And that's really just who I've been all of my life. As Debbie mentioned, I also went to law school. And when I look back on my life, I think it was because I wanted to really fix the healthcare system. I wanted to understand all the laws that pertain to the practice of medicine, the practice of healthcare in our nation. And so I became very, you know, familiar with the law as well. But I've really had a burning desire always to have a better healthcare system, because our healthcare system in America is pretty terrible. But I was always working as a conventional emergency physician for many, many years. And, you know, I loved my work, and it was great. And then in 2020, we saw all these lies, and I really couldn't ignore the lies anymore. And I had seen a lot of corruption in medicine before that, but the kind of corruption I was seeing was would fall in the category of perhaps overcharging a patient, doing too many tests. I didn't see corruption that was flat out killing people or flat out doing the wrong thing by people. That was new during COVID. So that was very concerning to me and kind of propelled me towards the idea of building something better and different. And also just the fact that so much of our money, the average person's money, is spent on what they think of as healthcare. It's not healthcare, it's insurance premiums. You're spending money to give money to Kaiser, Blue Cross, United Health Group, et cetera. It's not your health. If you were spending that amount of money in health, you'd be super duper healthy. The average family of four is spending $2,000 a month to have like health insurance coverage. And what are they getting for that? Are they getting great health? Are they getting a really secure safety net, financial safety net, if they go out and have an accident or a bad diagnosis? Really, no. That $2,000 a month that you're paying is getting you very limited access to kind of usually a select group of people that your insurance company okays. There's maximums that are allowed. There's, you know, every December 31st, it resets so that, you know, your deductible starts again. The average policy does not protect you against financial ruin if you get a terrible diagnosis. So there's all of these things that were kind of in my mind even before COVID. I don't know if I've ever told you, I haven't had health insurance for more than 10 years.
No, you've never told me.
Right? That. Does that sound crazy to everyone who's listening to me?
Like, you're a doctor. Okay.
You look like a responsible person, Dr. Gold. How could you not have health insurance for you and your family? I've got kids. Well, because I knew the system was super corrupt, and there are alternatives to health insurance that gives you that financial safety net. So all of these things are in my mind. How can we provide people financial safety net? How can we give them access to good doctors? How can we show them the universe of what's available to help keep them well? Doctors that you think of in America, like myself, Western-trained doctors, allopathic doctors, MDs, right? We are very well trained for disease management. I mean, if you've got congestive heart failure, you've got coronary artery disease, you've got emphysema, we are super well trained for that, diabetes, et cetera. We are not really trained to help you make best health choices so that you stay healthy. We are not well trained of getting you off medications. We're very well trained to put you on medications. So when I look back at what happened the last few years, I said, well, I'd love to offer people the way to actually stay healthy, not just to do disease management, but to actually stay well. All of these things propelled me to bring Gold Care, and I'd like to tell you how it's different. And honestly, Debbie, I invite you to become a member. It's for everybody. And the reason is, the last couple of years, the question I got the most is, how can I find a doctor like you? How can I find a doctor that I trust? That was the question. My first 2 years of the COVID nonsense, it was, how can I get my hands on early medicine, early treatment? The last 2 years, it's been, how can I find a doctor who I don't think will lie to me, or at least knows some things, right? Should I take the shot? Should I not take the shot? Should I take the shingles vaccine? Should I not take the shingles? What do you think about influenza? People have the same questions over and over. So what we've built at goldcare.com is honestly, it's revolutionary. I personally have handpicked 200 doctors that I got to know over the last 3 or 4 years. And we've built national telemedicine. So we're open in all 50 states right now. Goldcare.com, you come, you sign up, and you can see a doctor in your state. People think of it as telemedicine. I honestly like to call it, it's a video consult with the doctor of your choice. You have to be a member of our system. We're a closed system. We're outside the government. We're a private membership association. The government can't get into your business. There's not going to be any privacy violations where all of a sudden Walgreens, you know, has a data breach and kind of gets rid of your information to somebody who shouldn't have it. So you come into the private membership association of GoldCare. And once you're a member with us, we really can help you in any capacity. We can set you up with a primary care doctor in your state that does video consults with you. We give you advice for things. Let's say you see your doctor in the community and your doctor says, you know, you've got high cholesterol and you really should be on Lipitor and you've got high blood pressure and you should be on, you know, high blood pressure medicine, right? Maybe that's true, maybe it's not true, right? Why not come and get an unbiased consult with a GoldCare doctor who's got no reason to tell you yes or no, but just gives you the facts entirely neutrally.
Okay, so this is a video consult. So say whoever you've gone to has done whatever the test is for the particular disease you supposedly have. They do the video consult. They run through their symptoms, I assume. They explain themselves. Don't you have to be getting blood tests or whatever?
Yes. Okay. So we can work with you. I started explaining because the common way people understand is, well, I have a doctor that I go to and I like my doctor. So kind of in the first category, you can keep your doctor. You can keep going to your doctor. But you also should come to us and see if what your doctor is telling you is an informed, accurate answer. This use of GoldCare is near and dear to my heart because we have a lot of people who end up in the hospital for one reason or another. And they'll sometimes do consults with us from the hospital to find out if what they're getting is the right thing. So you do a video consult, but of course we do all the normal things your doctor does. You need a blood test, you need an x-ray, you need a prescription.
How do you do that though, if it's a video thing? You refer them to somebody in their neighborhood?
No, it's all exactly. We have all set up. If you want to go to the pharmacy, we have the pharmacy list within your zip codes. We have the labs within your zip codes. We have radiology, you know, sessions within your zip code, and it's just
so you're
normal.
Sending people to the place that would get the test. You're saying, I think what you need is XYZ test, and here is a list of places you can go.
Yeah.
Okay. So you are a person's a member of this, and then they went to that, but the places you've chosen, they're kind of member providers within your group.
Yeah, you could go for. So the member, let's say you come and join, and you become a GoldCare member, and you see one of our doctors on the video console, and you're like, oh, you know what? And she recommends XYZ test. You go out and get the test. They fax it right back or electronically send it back to us, and you do your follow-up visit and you get all your information. The same as any other telemedicine company. Telemedicine is a big deal. Everybody, you know, it's very common, very popular. It's no different than that. What's different is the quality of physician that we put in front of you. These are people that I personally know, vetted, and treated. Number one, no judgment. They put you first. They have no bias. They've got no financial interest other than making you, the customer, happy. Two, we put together naturopaths and functional doctors and allopathic doctors like myself. They all work together. We're all one group. No one is higher than the other. You want to see a naturopathic doctor, you want to see a dietitian, you want to lose some weight, we've got it all covered. So it's
okay,
very different.
But when you have this kind of consult, I mean, I'm really trying to picture how this works. You have this kind of consult, you say you need XYZ, so whatever rate you have to pay to get that blood test, whatever it is that something you've negotiated
Got
ahead
it.
Of time?
I understand the question. Yes. So this is let me explain all of the money portion, because we set a very reasonable price because I want everyone to come over to the system. You join GoldCare, and that's a monthly membership fee, much like joining a gym. You pay the membership fee, and that's what it is. You then get, as part of that, one doctor visit per month, should you need it. It doesn't add up. It's not as though you can save up and get 10 doctor visits in 1 month. But should you need it, that membership fee, which is $99 a month, does cover one doctor visit. Should you need a blood test, we have lists where to go, and we advise you can either go through your health insurance, or if you're like me and you gave up your health insurance, we teach you how to do cash pricing, which is less than half of what you think the price is. So we walk you through all of that.
Cash pricing mean you're kind of negotiating with the provider? With the provider of the test? No.
Yeah. So let's say you go to Quest. Quest is a common one. LabCorp is a common one, right? We say you need a CBC, you need a chemistry panel. And you say, well, I want to go to Quest. It's right down the street. Turns out you get a cash price from Quest that's entirely reasonable. This is one of the dirty little secrets of medical care in America, is that once you have health insurance, you've stopped paying attention to the prices.
Exactly what happened.
You've completely stopped paying
true.
Attention. So you go and you get a CBC and your insurance covers it. And you say, well, that's great. I only had to do a $10 copay for the CBC. And you feel like you did a good job. You had your Blue Cross or your Kaiser. You know what? The CBC is $3. That's the joke. Is that the tests are often less than even your copay.
Okay.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
It's a racket. You can't imagine the racket. There's so many sub details, but we have to explain each of them to you because everyone has a ton of questions like this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to mentally picture going through. If you call and say, so the first one I had was, you have the consult, you say XYZ seems whatever is going wrong, you say, yeah, you probably need to have this kind of test. So you teach people how to get the cash value, cash rate, if you don't have your private insurance to cover that test. Okay, so then the test comes back and says, yes, you do have XYZ or whatever it is. So then you're tied to either if the solution is a prescription medication, you give them pharmacies within their area.
Absolutely.
And the same thing about pricing there. Is that accurate?
Exactly, the same thing. So we can work with you if you've got health insurance, you want to stick with your health insurance, and that's what you want to do, no problem. You want to get off health insurance like Dr. Gold? No problem. We've got you covered both ways. I advocate getting off because when you get off health insurance, you have total freedom. We have a financial safety net. We'll teach you about it. But you can go to any doctor you want, any lab you want, any x-ray you want. It's such a superior solution.
Okay, I'm writing myself a question before I do that. Okay, so the next thing was, suppose that it was an emergency situation. I mean, so a true, you know, whether a heart attack, can't breathe, or whatever the thing would be, or a car accident. I mean, you may have to end up in the emergency room at the moment to get what immediate care you need.
So it is one of two categories. If you have health insurance, you've got Medicare or health insurance, you do what you normally do, I would still advocate at some point you make a consult with us so we can help advise you if you're getting the right thing where you are. That's one. If you don't have health insurance, you're bare, you've chosen not to have health insurance, or more intelligently, you've gone with us where you have Gold Care Plus.
Okay.
Gold Care Plus, which is an alternative to insurance, you've got yourself a financial safety net. Those are health shares. I don't know if you know about them, Debbie, but health shares have been around as a legal entity since the 80s. Obama tried to get rid of them, but he couldn't. So health shares have been around for at least 40, 50 years, and this is where a group shares the expenses. So Gold Care has partnered with various health shares. MediShare is the largest one in the business. There's others. There's Zion, there's Christian, there's Liberty Samaritan, there's a bunch of different ones. But it's the alternative. That is the financial safety net should you have something expensive. So you could have no insurance, which you risk financial, you know, insolvency if something happens. You could have traditional insurance, which, by the way, a lot of people also go bankrupt with traditional insurance.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because
true.
The copay and the deductibles are so high. Or you could have a more sensible solution, which is joining a health share, and we'll explain to you how to do that. It's much cheaper than insurance, more responsible than insurance. And there's a lot of questions people have with this.
There are,
all
and
covered.
I don't want to interrupt you because you're on a roll. But on the
health
share thing, do you have to have an exam? I mean, they qualify you because you have to have some kind of checkup to make sure.
First of all, we have a specialist at Gold Care that answers all your questions specifically. But in short answer, no. I joined and that was it. I answered three questions: my age, if I smoked, and the amount I wanted, the coverage and the deductible that I wanted.
That was the health share through
that.
Wow,
That's our Gold Care Plus, the health share option. This is a lot of information, so it sounds confusing to people, but what I really want to stress to people is you're spending $2,000 a month, either you or your employer spending that amount of money for a family of four, and you're getting virtually nothing in exchange. You're not getting that financial safety net. You're not getting freedom of choice with which doctor to see. You're not getting unbiased answers. You can get that $2,000 back. You could spend less than half of that through Gold Care and Gold Care Plus, and you get unbiased doctors who've got no reason to say yes or no, test or no test, scripts or no scripts, and less money, less cost.
Okay. You know what's interesting? I've been reading. This is actually fascinating, and I know we talked about it at some point when you were first formulating this, but it was a while ago. But you know, one thing I have noticed in healthcare recently, I've seen people who are obviously have a lot of excess weight, and so they're overweight, and they may even smoke. In fact, those two things tend to go together, and they're unhealthy. And honestly, part of my thought is, I can't even believe...
I'm so excited to talk about this.
Yeah, I can't even believe that our healthcare system is treating you as a victim, that our system is somehow going to go
may
jump.
May I just
go.
Talk about this? Like, I'm so passionate. I'm so passionate about this, because I would be remiss if I didn't emphasize that we do such a wellness approach. We are Gold Care Health and Wellness. The health part is like, if you've got disease, and we're going to help you get healthy. But there's the wellness, and most people in America don't have a disease. They have, they're kind of overweight and sedentary, right? So this is causing doctors to say to patients, you know, you're pre-diabetic. You know what saying pre-diabetic is most of the time? It's the doctor's too cowardly to say to your face, you got to lose some weight and you got to move your body. That's mostly what pre-diabetes is.
Yeah.
So we work with you to actually get you to a place of wellness. So we have ongoing weight loss that's amazing, weight loss classes all the time, and we work to get you off prescription medicines, and the success stories are incredible. People write to us and they're like, we got off 3 medicines, I've lost 10 pounds, and we do it the natural, old-fashioned way, which is we support you in this journey towards wellness, but we at least have it as a goal. The medical industrial complex, the system that I've left, didn't even have it as a goal to make you well. They had it as a goal to keep prescribing you medicines. That's it. They didn't have it as a goal to make you well. I'm very passionate about really trying to have you live your best life. And you can't live your best life if you're kind of sad, very overweight, and sedentary.
Humans and no energy. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Right, so we help you get better.
You know, you used a term earlier, a medical industrial complex, mm-hmm. and I am sure you and I have talked about this idea too, about regulatory capture, but the agencies, not to pick on just Dr. Fauci, but all of the FDA, CDC, NIH, they have become, according to many doctors on my show, they've become captured by or controlled by the biopharmaceuticals, the big pharmaceutical companies, so they're not really issuing opinions, or the leadership, the thinking is intertwined between medical, the biopharmaceuticals and the government, to the point, who's looking out for the taxpayer and the patient? I'm getting at, when you go to a doctor, a lot of what you end up is being advised, you need this. It's a safe thing for them to say, go ahead and prescribe. No one in the industry is pushing what you're saying. You can get off medications.
Right.
I mean, everyone's driven to say, probably one more medication will fix that side effect from that medication. And just the kind of normalcy of health is lost.
The entire system is built to sell you something. I'm so sorry to say that, but that's it. The doctor only has 10 or 15 minutes with you. It's much quicker to write your prescription than to have an actual conversation with you, right? So we don't do that at Gold Care. You simply pay for the doctor's time, and the doctor gives you their advice. Like my lawyer hat. You know, as a lawyer, I got paid for my time and my thinking. Doctors have gotten paid by insurance companies and following protocols. If you're actually interested in true wellness, you want to sit with an expert who can consult with you about how to optimize your performance, how to live your healthiest life, how to be well, how to get off prescription medicines whenever possible. You will not get those answers from a doctor who's being paid essentially by an insurance company. So
okay,
doctors are not even sure how they're compromised. For example, you know, pediatricians are compromised because they're taught they have to go down the vaccine schedule, or they lose financial money to their practices. It's things like that. So we exit that system and we give you true answers.
Do you give advice about vaccines?
We do. Yes, one-on-one advice.
Yeah.
And we're unbiased. We give you the research. A common one we get these days is shingles and influenza. I mean,
yeah, but I mean on the children's, because the children vaccine schedule. Yeah. Okay. I've recently been at a dinner where there was a doctor who's soon to be retiring and was talking about the vaccine schedule when he first began practicing and for small children. You know, I've forgotten what the numbers were, but now
it used to be 5 or 6. Now it's 72. 72 shots.
And you know, they're making the comment about how, you know, you're taught when you're young children that you introduce one food at a time, see how they do with the vegetables, see how they do with the apricots, whatever it is, and you just flooding those young bodies. And it seems like, and he was talking about just having seen horrible outcomes. So the vaccine thing, I think, especially for parents, they would like to talk to someone who's not their doctor, who's being forced or required to follow a vaccine schedule. What does my child really need? Everyone in our family is healthy. No one has XYZ. We're not going to go live in Zimbabwe. So what do we really need?
Yeah, so we have a number of people that come to us just for that reason. They just want some straight answers.
Yeah.
Just absolute straight answers. And for your viewers, we've set up, if you go to goldcare.com/DebbieG, goldcare.com/DebbieG, we're doing the best possible price that we can do. We're already a well-priced, but we give you 10% off of that.
Okay, so I think I was signaling Emilio, my happy producer. He's going to quick type that up, I think, and put it in the screen. I think he's doing that.
Goldcare.com/DebbieG for the best possible pricing. If you really want to get well, if you want to get some straight answers, you want a doctor who'll talk to you truthfully.
I really like that. And I also, you know, I do think, and I feel like I've said this in so many arenas of American life, I think for most of my life growing up, I kind of thought, you know, the doctors, they're motivated to help you. I mean, they're there because they care about people. They don't like that people are sick. They're trying to help. And honestly, among many other things, COVID has awakened people to the agendas and the regulation behind doctors and what advice they give. And to feel free of that, to feel like I'm just, you know, you're just going to tell me what it is. You're not being pushed by anyone to give other answers.
I want to tell you that I have some empathy for my peers. I was in the system a long time. I was pretty much forced to do things that I knew were not right. I had a line that I wouldn't cross, but I was forced to do a lot of things that I didn't think were right. A lot of testing. I drew the line where I wouldn't give a medicine if I didn't think a medicine was indicated. But I'm guilty of doing a lot of testing that I knew I didn't need.
And so, testing is a threat, because I remember even when my dad was very near the end of his life and, you know, was over in the emergency room with him, and they were saying, well, we could run this test. And even I could see there wasn't really a point, but, you know, they had to offer it and we had to answer. You know, Dr. Simone Gold, we were out of time. I'm going to quickly tell our listeners to check out drsimonegold.com, AFLDS.org, and goldcare.com. Check those three things out. This raced by as I knew it would. And I want to thank you for coming to Texas. Thank you so much for being here.
Great state of Texas. Love it.
It is a great state of Texas. Okay, so we are going to run through our Why It Matters to You. And Mr. Amelia, we're only doing one slide since we only did one topic, which is completely fine. So I close the show every day by telling why the stories we talked about today matter to you, and GOP retirement sabotaging America, and they are. Early retirements of Congressman Ken Buck and Mike Gallagher jeopardize the GOP House majority, reeks of uniparty deep state maneuvering, yes it does, likely reason to keep Trump out of the White House. Believe me, the left is always angling and we're always playing defense too late. Consider Gallagher's resignation date specifically timed to be too late for Wisconsin to order a special election to fill his seat in an R+15 district likely to elect a Republican to replace him. Result, vacancy in Gallagher's seat trims Republican majority until after November election. Result, if the House majority tips the D control by one or more additional resignations before the November election, certification of the November election under the control of House majority would a D majority in the House certify a Trump election victory, or will pigs fly? The Americans are bristling at the obvious in-your-face ruling class maneuvering to sabotage Trump. Common sense is rising and asking, what is it about Trump they are so afraid of? Americans are the sleeping giant, and they are awakening with resolve. That, my friends, is our show for today. Very quickly, this coming Thursday, please tune in at 3 p.m. We have Frank Gaffney joining us in studio from Washington, D.C., talking about the World Health Organization we touched on today, and many of the top national security threats facing our country, and the conduct of the Biden administration, which seems to make America's place in the world more and more dangerous, makes the world more dangerous, make America's role weaker and weaker. Hear all about that on Thursday with Frank Gaffney joining us. I do this show. I'm Debbie Georgiadis. This is America Can We Talk. Our website is AmericaCanWeTalk.org. I do this show to speak truth about America because America matters. And I will talk to you next time.
Can We Talk? Truth about America. Can you